Welcome to the Injury Law Pod, the podcast that explores and demystifies the complex world of personal injury law. Each week, Missouri personal injury attorney Eric Bartlett dives into the legal issues surrounding personal injury cases to help you understand your rights and options when seeking justice and compensation for personal injuries. So sit back, relax, and let's explore the world of personal injury law together.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Injury Law Pod. I am your host, Eric Bartlett, 28-year personal injury lawyer, and this is the podcast where we break down everything that's related to personal injury law. Our goal is to simplify and clarify so that if you or someone you know has a personal injury claim, they don't get taken advantage of by the insurance company. And today's episode is going to be one where I do some summaries of some cases that we either have or have recently had. This is kind of where I'm able to show the rubber hitting the road, so to speak. These topics that I cover, these subjects that I dive into, this is like real examples of clients and cases that we have to just show how all of this really comes together when we have an actual case that we're handling. April is Distracted Driving Month, and that is a designation that multiple safety agencies and organizations put out for the month of April to increase an awareness of the dangers of distracted driving. And as you know, you don't have to drive very far to look around and see, as you might guess, what the number one contributor of distracted driving is. And that's phones. Obviously, again, if you're out on the roadways and you pay attention to the drivers around you, you are going to see lots of people driving and looking at their phones. There's just no escaping it. It's a fact of our modern day life. And you might be driving down the road behind somebody and they're doing a little bit of swerving, they're driving slow in the left lane, whatever you might notice. And then if you are able to get up to them and you look over, nine times out of 10, the phone is there in front of them, in front of their steering wheel, above their steering wheel, wherever it may be, they're sending that text. They're looking for directions. They're doing something other than simply driving and paying attention to the roadway. And the Distracted Driving Awareness Month is there to bring awareness to what the National Highway and Transportation Safety Administration calls a deadly epidemic, which is distracted driving. And it's something that we obviously all need to be thinking about when we get behind the wheel, when we are tempted to look at our phones, check our phones, whatever it may be. We're costing ourselves precious seconds that just might be needed to avoid a serious accident. And according to the National Highway and Transportation Safety Administration, it looks like the most recent numbers are from 2021. 3,522 people were killed because of distracted driving. And again, that's the ones that obviously it was very clear, proven distracted driving was involved. Obviously, as we all might imagine, that's not going to encompass every instance of distracted driving that led to a death. But these are the numbers that we have. And obviously, again, the phone is the big one, but, you know, I mean, I know I see it. Sometimes drivers admit to looking at their radio to change stations. I mean, they might be looking at a GPS or something like that, trying to figure out where they're going or wanting to go. Eating, drinking, putting on makeup. It's kind of interesting. And if you're old enough, like I am, to remember, I remember driving down the highway, maybe on a trip, and seeing people reading books while driving, and was always just floored by that. And again, now it seems like the phone has replaced books for some other entertainment option while driving a vehicle. And again, they're really, unfortunately, right? You're driving a vehicle, that's where your attention has to be. And I say unfortunately, sure, we'd all like to have the ability to do something else while, especially if you're on a long trip. But right now, until those self-driving cars become much more prevalent, our focus has to be on the road and on the vehicles around us, because you absolutely just never know when something is going to happen. Is something going to fly off of a vehicle? Is somebody going to have a blowout? Is somebody going to pull out in front of you? Is somebody going to change lanes real quickly? You know, if you've driven, you've seen it all. And at any given moment, that can happen. And if you don't have your attention on the road, you don't have the proper reaction time, and accidents can happen. Or if you're driving distracted, you may be the one doing all those things, changing lanes, not paying attention, pulling out in front of somebody, whatever it is, and there it is again. The accident is going to happen. So it's just crucial. And so obviously, the governmental agencies, the safety organizations, you know, they're putting out the message in April that, look, if you need to send a text, then pull over and send the text. It's not worth causing what could potentially be a life-altering collision. And if you have a passenger, then you know what? It's just like driving drunk. If you have somebody else that can drive you, if you've been drinking, well, if you've got a passenger, let them be the texter. Let them be the messenger. You don't need to do it because you're in charge of this vehicle, which is a deadly weapon. And so that's another reminder that's put out there. And again, do not scroll through apps while you're driving, you know, those types of things. And I can tell you that if you're struggling because that phone's nearby, you hear it buzzing, dinging, whatever, take some proactive measure to get it out of your awareness while you're driving. And again, I've been there. I have a phone. I'm not above this. So it's so tempting when we get those notifications or something like that to think, man, I've got to respond right then. And it's so funny because obviously there was a day, I think it was basically before about 2007, when this just wasn't an issue, right? We didn't carry our phones everywhere with us all the time and felt like we had to respond to any little thing that dings on our phone. So it's just a good reminder for all of us to do what we can to stay focused on the roadway. And April is the month that's been designated for this awareness. There's usually an increased patrol enforcement, law enforcement, looking for distracted drivers, writing more tickets, things like that. And one thing that you may not know, but in Missouri last year, they passed a law. So it had been illegal to text and do things like that while you were driving. But in Missouri, at least, you could still use your phone right here, talk on the phone, whatever. And last year, Missouri said, we're a hands-free state, meaning you cannot have a phone in your hand while you're driving. Did you know that? So if you're going to make a phone call, the only way legally you are allowed to do that is through a Bluetooth option, hands-free option. So keep that in mind, because again, if you're even just driving down the road and you have a phone in your hand and a law enforcement officer sees you, that is grounds for them to pull you over and write you a ticket for that. So a lot of people probably don't realize that. And Missouri joined the vast majority of states last year when they passed that law. I think, if I remember, I was looking at this last year, there's still a couple states out there that allow you to use your phone, at least for talking, holding your phone in your hand. But again, the vast majority of the states have all gone to this no phone in your hand while you're driving. And again, personally, I find that putting that phone out of my awareness while I'm driving is the best way not to be tempted. And so, you know, it can be really catastrophic, obviously, when an accident occurs, and, you know, if it is because of a distracted driver. And just to look here for another couple of statistics, again, I mentioned how many people are killed, but there's obviously even more people injured. Basically, what they say is thousands of people killed, hundreds of thousands of people injured because of distracted driving. So it's a really, really big problem that we have. And again, I guarantee you, if you've been driving, number one, you've probably been the distracted driver. Number two, you've probably been mad at a distracted driver. So it's not like I'm telling you anything you don't know. Okay, so as I told you at the top of this episode, this is where I'm going to talk about some cases, right? Real life examples. And so on the distracted driving front, I just settled a claim for a young man who was hit by a distracted driver. And it's interesting because we actually were able to resolve this claim before a lawsuit was filed. So we don't know what or why the other driver was distracted, but how do we know, or how do we have a really good idea the other driver was distracted? Well, so if a driver doesn't admit to being distracted, and again, sometimes people will tell the police officer at the scene that, you know, they looked down. I mean, I've had everything. I've had people admit that they dropped their phone fell off onto the floorboard, they were trying to get it while they were driving. I've had people talk about they were looking at their radio and changing stations or whatever, and that caused them to veer off. And again, who knows, right? Maybe they felt like that was the lesser evil if they had to admit to some kind of distracted driving than being on their phone. But we've had people admit to being distracted while driving. We had a young guy, this has been quite a few years ago, was broken down on the side of the highway. And he was actually helping another guy. They were both together. They were trying to move a car from one point to another. One of the cars broke down. They're working on that car, side of the highway. Next thing you know, a car just blast into the vehicles where they were on the side of the highway, sending our young client flying through the air into the woods along the highway. suffered some pretty serious injuries, broken bones, brain issues, things like that. And that driver admitted to messing with her radio, and obviously just veering off the roadway. Now, most recently, I just wrapped up a claim where this young person was coming through an intersection, hit our young person who had the right of way in the intersection, and for whatever reason, never applied brakes, never swerved, nothing, just plowed right into our client's car. And so again, because we weren't in a lawsuit, we didn't get to talk to the at-fault driver and really dig in to find out what was going on. But what we did was we got the black box information from that other driver's vehicle. That's that electronic control module. I've talked about it on other episodes. Every modern car has this electronic control module that we more commonly refer to as the black box. It records data about 5 seconds before collision. So collision happens, and then it hits record for the 5 seconds previous. It like locks that information in. And so you can see how fast the car was going from 5 seconds up to the point of collision. So you can literally see, right? What speed was it 5 seconds? What speed was it 4 seconds? What speed was it 3 seconds? You get the idea all the way. So you can see, did they ever slow down or did they maintain the same speed? You can also see braking. Was braking applied? You can see if the car made maneuvers. It records all that stuff. And so in this particular instance, the car traveled straight, never slowed down, and made impact with our client's vehicle. So it was clear, unless this other driver wanted an accident to happen, which was not the case, that they were not looking at the road. And they did admit, again, we weren't in a lawsuit, but working through insurance companies and their lawyers, because it was a significant claim, so there was a lawyer involved for the insurance company. They admitted the phone would show it was on at the time, but that it was on a GPS, and supposedly it was down in the console. If we had gone further, filed the lawsuit, we would have obviously dug in and tried to figure out exactly what was going on with this other driver. One thing we would have done is we would have requested and or subpoenaed documentation from that at-fault driver's cell phone service provider. There is a lot of data you can get from the cell phone service provider. There's metadata and all kinds of other stuff that really breaks down what exactly was on the phone, what was being used, things like that. And, you know, if it came out that this other driver was lying about exactly what he was doing with his phone, then obviously that helps our case, right? Because if it gets in front of a jury, nobody likes a liar. And now you take a situation where, you know, I mean, a jury very well may feel sorry for both sides of this. And because again, we did have a young driver at fault. And, you know, but now all of a sudden, if you get data that shows he's lying about why he was distracted, that helps our case. That's going to make a jury less sympathetic to the at-fault driver. And so that definitely would have been on our priority list, is figuring out what exactly, why this kid never braked. And it's kind of interesting because when I was running this case kind of by my family, you know, I like to get input from people about their thoughts on the situation and all those things. And, you know, my 17-year-old daughter rang in and said, oh, he was 17. He was on his phone. And that's sad, isn't it? I mean, I've talked to my daughters multiple times about do not jack with your phone when you're driving. And I've ridden with all of them that can drive. And, you know, I feel like they have a pretty good handle, but it did kind of scare me that her immediate reaction was, oh, he was on his phone. So anyway, this, our client in this situation, again, ended up with a, he had a skull fracture and internal damage in his ears, and he actually lost hearing completely in one of his ears at a very young age. He said he's got some balance issues, and he really did go through a rough time for quite a while. And so, and now he's got permanent injuries that's going to prevent him from doing a job that he really wanted to do. So the consequences of distracted driving can just be enormous. And, you know, again, just looking at it from the other side, this young driver that caused the accident, I mean, he has to now live with the fact that he caused serious injury to somebody that's going to affect that person for the rest of their life. And, you know, just for those few seconds of distraction that probably could have been avoided, there it is. And you can't change it, can't go back after that. So just keep in mind, April is Distracted Driving Month, and it's a really good time to not only talk to others, talk to your kids that are driving, but also right here, talk to this person, yourself, and see, you know, can I do something different to try to avoid being a distracted driver? Because it really can lead to bad consequences, life-changing consequences. Again, I've seen it where people have been killed because of distracted driving. And you definitely can't unring that bell, and you have to live with it for the rest of your life if you're the one that caused it. So that's kind of my wrap up on distracted driving. I wanted to talk to you about a couple other types of cases that we have going on. Interestingly enough, we have currently a couple of UTV cases. So if you don't know what a UTV is, I don't know that I guess I do know. UTV probably stands for like utility vehicle. Guess I should have researched that better. You know, you got ATVs, right? Four wheelers, things like that. UTV is more the type of vehicle that you'll see on a farm, or, you know, somebody that has a use for that. But I've got a couple of those, and, you know, at this point, UTVs, they can really get up to high speeds, and people do drive them on the roadways. People use them to move stuff around. And so it's becoming more frequent to see UTVs involved in accidents. And interestingly enough, we have two different ones that are kind of show you the range of what's possible, how people can get injured in a UTV accident. So the first one is a situation where our client was a guest at some people's property, and they were taking a UTV ride. The facts of what they were doing, not really important, right? Just taking our client around, showing her the lay of the land, whatever that looked like. And the driver went to put the UTV in park, but apparently did not do so sufficiently. And as they were sitting there, the UTV slipped out of gear, out of the park gear, and began rolling backwards and ended up flipping three times and landing in a pond. And our client, so the driver and the wife passenger, the wife of the driver, they were ejected out of the UTV. Our client was not, stayed in it through the rolling into the pond and basically kind of floated out of the UTV, fortunately for her. Obviously, would have been horrific if she had been taken down with the UTV, but sustained lots of serious injuries, from back injuries, fractures in her back. She had to have surgery, broken ribs, all kinds of things. So really, really serious injury there. And all because this UTV didn't get properly put into park and then went out of control. On the other UTV case that we currently have, we have a woman who was also a passenger with a driver, and then another person was a passenger in the front seat. Our person was a passenger in the back seat. And they were driving at night on a back road, making their way home. And the roadway was wider than the bridge over a creek. So not sure that I can fully demonstrate it, but if you can imagine, you got the width, of the road, and then you've got an inset bridge. And unfortunately, they were driving towards the edge of the roadway. And when they encountered this bridge that had no warnings, no guardrails, nothing, they literally went off into the creek. A substantial drop. And unfortunately, our lady remained in a vegetative state for several months before passing away. So it's a really, really tragic situation. And in that particular case, we are looking at not only the responsibility of the driver in operating on the roadway, keeping a lookout for what was ahead, but we're also looking at any governmental responsibility for not having proper signage up about the bridge, not having any type of guardrails. Interestingly enough, guardrails had been there on the other side of the bridge. The guardrail was still intact, but it was bent over. On the side our client and the UTV she was in went off of, the guardrail was completely gone. Some of it was laying down in the creek bed. So maintenance there obviously had not been done in a very long time. And it was a very dangerous situation. And so we actually have some different avenues that we're looking at to try to compensate. And now we're compensating, sadly enough, not her, but her family who has lost her. And so that's just two kind of different examples of UTV cases that we currently have. We've had others in the past. And again, but people are using UTVs in a lot of different ways. And so sadly, the opportunity arises for there to be an accident, and you just never know. And just like anything, you know, you can walk away sometimes with minimal injuries, and then other times there's going to be serious injury involved. And obviously that's when we get involved to see what the circumstances were. You know, was somebody else responsible for this? We have seen situations where somebody was driving and, you know, they lost control And whether they were seriously hurt or whether they ended up dying, unfortunately, I mean, it was on them. There's no claim to be made there. But these two were definitely because of somebody else's doing. And that's why we're involved. So that's really it on today's episode. Just a couple of slightly related current situations, distracted driving. Again, one more time, just be safe out there and do everything you can. Keep your eyes on the road. If you've enjoyed this episode, found it informative, as always, I ask you, please share it. Leave us a five-star review wherever you found it. And, you know, tune in for more as we get them out there. And, you know, if you ever need help with something, serious injury, you know where to find us. It's always a free consultation. And until the next episode, be safe and be well.